Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And we head to our 1025, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Andrew Marchand, who covers sports media for The Athletic. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. Thanks for taking time to be with us. So, Andrew, I want to start with the Four Nations tournament in the NHL. We saw USA and Canada on Saturday night. The ratings were very good for them. Interested to see what they look like tonight in the final between US and Canada. But what have you made of the Four Nations tournament, USA and Canada specifically, and what this ratings news means for the NHL as they continue to try to grow their game?
Yeah, it's undoubtedly a success. I mean, it's a great idea. And the biggest thing, you have to credit the players and the coaches, because it's the buy-in that makes it the magic happen, and why, you know, I'm going to be tuned in, you're going to be tuned in tonight, because they care. I mean, they're not really playing for anything. There's no trophy. There's no history with this. But the players care about which country is considered the best after this tournament, and you have to give them a lot of credit. So, what it means for the NHL, it's another event that really will resonate on the calendar. Does it help, you know, regular season games? You know, sometimes these things, kind of like the in-season tournament with the NBA, it's like that. I thought that was a good idea, and I still think it is. But the only thing it does, it does kind of highlight that, well, you're making these games more important. What does that mean for your regular season, you know, your normal regular season games? I don't know overall. I would say this. I do think, because of the numbers, anytime the numbers, you know, jump like they did, they had 4.4 million people watching USA versus Canada the other day, you get more people watching. So that can't, you know, then you might say, all right, let me watch the Rangers. Let me watch the Predators. And when you wouldn't normally watch. And it's a good sport. So, it's helpful for sure. But I think the players and coaches really deserve credit because they buy it.
So, Andrew, I know you've been writing and talking a lot about NFL and different, you know, television iterations possibly to come. But I want to get right to my biggest annoyance in the world, which is Tom Brady broadcasting games. Now, as you wrote, like, he got better this year. I think he's tolerable. I think he'd be like fine as like the fourth crew of a team. But can you just give me any hope at all that this is going to end? And honestly, my biggest issue, two things: the Raiders thing just really bothers me. But also, like, my biggest issue is that we were robbed of Greg Olson, who I think is the best analyst out there. Like, if Brady replaced Collinsworth or Aikman, it would be worse. But like, I wouldn't be infuriated. I'm infuriated because Greg Olson, to me, is bar none the best analyst out there. Is there any hope that like this can end?
I think there is hope. Don't lose hope. There's hope it can end. I don't want to take away your hope. But I do think, you know, I reported a couple of years ago his salary is $37.5 million, and you add stocks, it may be higher. And I know there's a lot of speculation that maybe he'll be one and done with the Raiders. I don't know many people who walk away from jobs that, even if you're Tom Brady, that pay you nearly $40 million to work half the year, and it's one day a week. Now there's a lot of prep you have to do, so it's not just a one day a week job. So the idea that he's walking away, I don't see. The Raider thing, I think it's very manageable. I think, you know, a lot of times in the world we live in, you know, understanding the actual facts of things get lost. Obviously, let me just say at the start, it's not how you'd want. If you were drawing it up, you wouldn't have a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders be the number one analyst for Fox. That's not how you draw it up. But we don't live in that type of world. This has happened before. I'm not saying it's okay. It's just the world we live in. That said, he's not allowed to be a team president. Only family members of ownership are allowed to be team presidents or that type of an executive. So how involved he is, you know, some people – our colleague at The Athletic, Diana Rossini, said he's involved in everything. And I'm sure he has a say. And if you look at their decisions, it seemed like with the GM, who he had a past relationship, and then Pete Carroll, who he seemed to like, you know, he had some influence. But is he there every day? I don't think so. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he liked it. People liked working with him. I think the bigger question in terms of on the air is, you know, can he be relatable? And I think, you know, Greg Olsen's very relatable, and Greg Olsen studied it. Even as a player, he started calling games. He wanted to do this. Tom Brady had no interest in doing this before they offered him so much money. Now, Fox didn't feel comfortable, and there was that factor. But the bottom line is he did it because it was such an incredible contract.
So, Andrew, we've seen, whether it's Prime and Amazon or Netflix, try to get involved with the NFL broadcast, and they're going to continue to push that as they move forward here. What do you make of where that's going in terms of the non-traditional broadcast of NFL games versus the traditional television broadcast that we're all used to?
So I think it's very important for fans and viewers to understand, like, the time frame. So the NFL deals are only in their second year. They just concluded the second year. They're 11-year contracts. They have opt-outs at the end of the decade. So 29 and 30, most of them are after the 29 season. ESPN's after the 30 season. So nothing's changing in the next 5 years. Now, there's one caveat to that I'll get into in a second. So, yes, streaming is coming, but the way you watch games is not changing for a few years. Now, I'll add this caveat. This is getting really into the weeds. CBS is going through an ownership change. There is a clause in the NFL deals that if a network has an ownership change, they have the right, the NFL does, to reopen the deals. So that does kind of create perhaps an opportunity. You know, Netflix's head of content the other day said that she would be interested in afternoon games, which was a little bit of a shocker because most people think of them, you know, going to be on these one-off with the Thursday night football, Sunday night football, Monday night football. That's where Netflix and Amazon are kind of expected to live in the NFL world. But she said Sunday afternoons. So that's where the timeline, again, we're a long way from there, could move up. But for fans watching, to the next 5 years, you're going to be fine in terms of how you watch. It's going to be the same for the next 5 years unless the CBS thing happens. So, yes, it's going to happen. When we get into the next decade, you know, streaming is going to become even stronger. So to answer your question, yes, that's the future, but the future isn't changing next year or the year after unless the CBS thing becomes serious.
Well, and you pointed out, like this is like they need to tread lightly here, right? I mean, is there a concern here that at some point you've gone too far with this stuff?
Yeah, well, I think if I'm the NFL, the real concern I would say is that streaming hasn't really necessarily worked fully. Now, the Amazon ratings are good. Peacock with NBC had pretty good ratings. The Netflix games on Christmas, if those games were on Fox or CBS or ABC or NBC, they would have done about 8 million more people. And I do think that this is a business part of it, is that if you're the NFL and you go all in on streaming, and of course all these places, Amazon, Netflix, Google, YouTube could get involved, they have endless money. But they don't necessarily just spend endless money. And the other part of it long term is if Netflix gets the NFL, and let's say they do a 10-year deal, when you get into the 2040s, they might not need the NFL as much, or there might not be a stalking horse to make them pay as much as they have because there just might not be other places. And I think when you look at the broadcast networks, you look at ESPN, they need the NFL. That's their business. That's you don't really have those networks, and they don't really survive very well. I mean, maybe they survive, but they're not what they are without the NFL. And I think that's a pretty good negotiating position long term. So I'd want to prop those places up and bring in the streamers as long as I could, which is kind of the combination that they have right now. So to answer your question, yes, streaming is going to become more, but, you know, how it all exactly plays out, you know, we still have some time before we'll really know that your life is different. But if you're an NFL fan for next year, when those are taking 1 year at a time in this world we live in, you're going to watch the games the same way you watched them last year.
So, Andrew, I want to switch to college football. I feel like based on having you on just so I can vent about things, this is like February Festivus here, but I've been complaining about college football and these changes that they're doing, and like this idea of the automatic bids and all these things, playing games that we have colleagues reporting on in New Orleans right now. In talking to you know, your sources in the media environment, is there any concern, just big picture, about like college football long term, you know, just really messing up its product and taking 100%. Out swaths of this country? Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I wouldn't say that they think that you're going to take out. I mean, the TV networks, and I know they get blamed for changing everything. Two things I can say on that. Number one, it's not they're not charities, these TV networks. So it's not their job to protect college football everywhere. That's college football's job, and administrators and presidents of these universities and athletic directors. That's their job, is to protect the, you know, environment. TV networks' jobs are to make money. Right? That's not like that's what they're doing. And again, you might say, well, they should be like, no, that's not how it works. So the idea that they're, I'm not saying maybe if you, you know, they have good heart. Like I think they actually do sincerely care about all of college football, but I do think they recognize something that you're just hitting on, like the idea of these playing games for the Big Ten. If they have the four automatic bids in the expanded playoff, so if they go to 14 teams, they was at 12 this first year. They go to 14 teams, that the Big Ten, you know, your top two teams would get the automatic bids. And then they'd have some sort of game between either 3 and 6 or 4 and 5 or however they do it. And the winners of those games would go in. Now they might be able, again, that's where the streamers could come in, because I'm not sure that the people who own the Big Ten rights right now, Fox, NBC, CBS, are going to give them any more money. So could they get the streamers for those games? Maybe. But I don't think those games, I don't know. I think you hurt your product. I think the one thing that these places really have to be smart about, and they get so greedy, is that, you know, obviously with more games, you make more money. But the reason the NFL is so successful, yes, it's a great sport to watch, and we all love it. And there's fantasy football, there's gambling, and there's your teams. And so there's a lot that goes into it. But the biggest thing why it's so successful in college football to this point is to watch the Tennessee Titans, you only have to ask your significant other for 3.5 hours, and you can tell them exactly when that is. If you want to watch every game of a baseball season, of a basketball season, of hockey, I got to give you 1,000,000 hours. And so that scarcity is very valuable to me long term. And I think that they shouldn't lose sight of that. I think if we got into that, you know, this first time with the playoff, which I like the playoff a lot personally, but between all the NFL games on every other night, between the playoff games, you start to not feel like these games are as important. I don't have to watch them. And I think that you start telling me things aren't as important. I think we've seen that with the regular season, especially in the NBA, that it's not as important. If the players say it, and again, this is a little bit different now. I'm changing this a little bit. But like, I think with the NBA example, let me just use, the players were telling you load management, this game isn't important. Well, the fans hear that, and eventually they're going to say, you know what, this isn't that important. I don't need to watch. This guy's not playing. This guy's a little bit. So I just think scarcity, if I were starting these leagues, if I was the NBA, and college football applies to too, I don't know if adding things is necessarily more games is better overall.
Really interesting stuff. Andrew, thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning. Great stuff. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Andrew Marchand, Andrew, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. We'll react to what he had to say. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.